Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain after a crazy regular season led us back to the blue turf for the championship game. Ashton Genty and Boise State ran through UNLV to secure everything from a first-round bye in the college football playoff to a Heisman finalist spot for their star running back. We'll go over everything surrounding the conference championship. Then it's time to hop on the coach carousel. We had two huge switches this week with New Mexico head coach Bronco Mendenhall leaving the Lobos after one season to take the job at Utah State, and UNLV's Barry Odom taking off from the Rebels for Purdue. What's next for these two programs and what names could be in the mix? To end the show, we'll quickly go over each bowl-eligible Mountain West team's destination for bowl season, and we'll cap it off with each team's most notable transfer portal entry, as portal season is also in full swing. Mammoth episode this week. Let's dive in. Starting off with the conference championship game, Boise State, of course, beating UNLV 21-7 to lock up the Mountain West and the first round bye in the college football playoff. And this game was not much of a contest, honestly. We expected another really good game like we saw in the first matchup between these two teams, and that just wasn't the case. Boise State's defense really set the tone in this one. The Rebels weren't able to get on the scoreboard until the fourth quarter, and while the Broncos offense wasn't incredibly explosive from a passing perspective, Ashton Genty was as advertised and did everything he could to make a final impression on the Heisman voters. He had 223 total yards and a ridiculous 75-yard touchdown, which had his patented three or four broken tackles on his way to the house. Not surprisingly, Ashton Genty was named the offensive MVP of this game, and Seyi Oladipo was named the defensive MVP. But with this game happening on Friday night, the Broncos did have to wait an extra day to see the rest of the field play their conference championship games to get a better idea of where they would be in the college football playoff. And after the ACC championship wrapped up with Clemson upsetting SMU, who was one spot ahead of Boise State, that cleared the way for Boise State to slide into the 3 seed of the college football playoff. They're going to get a couple of weeks to heal up before their quarterfinal matchup against the winner of Penn State and SMU. Overall, this was just a coronation for the Boise State program, Spencer Danielson and Ashton Genty. Of course, the Bronco faithful stormed the field as time expired. The goalposts were torn down and taken to the nearby river, which is, of course, a newer tradition in college football, but one you love to see and one that I'm glad made its way to Boise State. There's so many legends at Boise State that laid the groundwork for this team to be able to make a push for the national championship that never got a chance to do so themselves. Your Kellen Moores, your Ian Johnsons and Jared Sobranskys, your Leighton Vander Esches, all of those guys' contributions have built up to this moment for the Boise State program. And now they're going to get a chance to either play Penn State or SMU on the biggest stage possible with a chance to actually win a national championship. That is something that could actually happen. Is it something that I expect to happen? Maybe not, as Boise State beating Penn State or SMU, followed by Georgia or Notre Dame or Indiana, followed by another win in the national championship. The odds would certainly be stacked against them, but of course we know how good this Boise State team is. We saw what they did against Oregon, how they probably should have won that game. They're not going to be scared of anybody, and you can't count them out against any opponent in this 12-team playoff. We're going to move on for now because we have about a month to prepare for Boise State's next contest, but overall a legendary moment for this Boise State program. With our on-field action taken care of, let's move on to the plethora of off-field news that happened in the past few days. Let's start with the head coaching switches. We had two mammoth moves. We're going to start with the more recent one, which is Barry Odom leaving UNLV after two seasons to rejoin the Power Four ranks and taking a job at Purdue. Of course, this is a headline that you hate to see, especially for Rebel fans, but it's a headline that is more expected than some of the other ones we've seen in terms of head coaching switches. We know Barry Odom was in the mix for a couple of Power Four jobs last season after taking UNLV straight to 9 wins and one of their best seasons in program history right off the bat. So it's no surprise that after Barry Odom improved his team in every facet going into year two, that he would still be on those Power Four radars and probably ascended a bit on some of those Power Four radars. So he's now going to West Lafayette. We'll get a chance to try and rebuild Purdue into a contender in the new look Big Ten. And as for UNLV, it really sucks that after all they have accomplished in these next two seasons, they may be back to square one in a year from now. Of course, that's entirely possible that they keep this momentum going under their next head coach, and there's no drop off at all. That's entirely possible. Just in this season, we saw San Jose State stay at exactly 7-5, despite switching from a very monumental head coach to their program to a outside hire, still stayed at that exact level. So it is possible, but then we've also seen countless times the immediate drop off that happens when you go into a new era for your program. Just this season, think about Wyoming, who went from 9 wins last year in Craig Bowles last year to just 3 wins this season under Jay Sauvell. So we'll have to wait and see in terms of UNLV's on-field performance next year under a new head coach, but in terms of who they will hire as their next head coach, from what I can tell, offensive coordinator Brennan Marion, who is a familiar name for us on the podcast, of course, the creator of the Go-Go offense, has been such an innovative and incredible mind for UNLV throughout these past two seasons, and he is being thoroughly vetted as the replacement for Barry Odom. The athletic director has said that he prefers an experienced hire, but Marion is going to be their first option if he does end up reaching whatever their required criteria is for their head coach. This isn't new territory for Marion. Last year, he was a finalist for the San Diego State job that ended up going to Sean Lewis. And of course, if you end up keeping Brennan Marion as your head coach, you elevate him. That probably has a lot better chance of keeping your recruits and roster intact going into next season, because we've already seen as soon as your head coach heads out the door, the transfer portal's right there for all of these players, and they're going to take advantage. We'll talk about New Mexico and their situation in a little bit, but it happens very quickly. So if UNLV's top priority is keeping that continuity and keeping the success that Barry Odom started going, then I do think keeping Brendan Marion as your showrunner would be the best option. We'll have to wait and see. Some other options could be Montana State head coach Brent Vigen, who we talked about a couple of times last year, has had the Bobcats as one of the top programs in the FCS for the last few years. Would certainly make a lot of sense if they ended up going in that direction. Oregon offensive coordinator Will Stein, a bit of a younger option, but has done great things with that Oregon offense over the last three seasons under Dan Lanning. We did mention that the athletic director is looking for an experienced hire in terms of head coaching experience, which Will Stein doesn't have, but still a name that will likely at least get vetted. And one last option I think they may look at is longtime Power Four assistant Van Malone, who is currently at Kansas State. He's been in the mix for multiple Group of Five jobs over the last half decade. He's got over 2 decades of experience in the Power Four. This is a guy that has seen and been a part of winning programs his entire career. So if he ends up being a dark horse hire that really comes out of nowhere, don't be surprised. Van Malone from Kansas State is very deserving to be in the running for this job. And our second stop of the week on the coach carousel was a pretty shocking one if you haven't been listening to some of the reports that have been coming out over the last few weeks, but still a bit of a sad ending in Albuquerque with Bronco Mendenhall, after just one season as the Lobos head coach, heading to Utah State to become their new showrunner. The former BYU and Virginia head coach took a couple of years off from coaching before taking the New Mexico job, and he really worked wonders in his first year at the helm, getting New Mexico to 5 wins, which is their most since 2016. He had multiple all-conference performers like quarterback Devin Dampierre, wide receiver Luke Wison, running back Eli Sanders, and despite this team getting off to an 0-4 start with a loss to FCS Montana State, they still ended up getting within one game of a bowl game. They had a chance. If they beat Hawaii in their season finale, they would have been going bowling, but unfortunately, it was just a bit too much success for Bronco Mendenhall to remain unnoticed and at home in Albuquerque. This is just the unfortunate reality that New Mexico has been in for quite a while, whether it's a coach or a player. If anyone has too much success for the Lobos, someone's going to notice. There were reports coming out that Bronco Mendenhall was interviewing for the Utah State job over the last week or so, and he did eventually end up being named as their head coach. They've had an introductory press conference. This is set in stone at this point. So Bronco Mendenhall taking a step up after one one season at New Mexico, I got to imagine he took a look at the resources around him and just didn't see too much of a future for the Lobos and himself there. That's the only real reason I can think of behind leaving your program after just one season. And it sucks because if you take a look back a couple of weeks to when they upset Washington State for their first ranked win in 40 years or whatever it was, that was such a monumental moment for this program. They rushed the field at the University of New Mexico. Bronco Mendenhall was crying. The vibes for New Mexico were just immaculate at that point. And in hindsight, that win might have actually cost them Bronco Mendenhall, because if they end up losing a close game there, they lose to Hawaii in their final game of the year, and they finish the year 4-8, I don't know if Bronco Mendenhall ends up on Utah State's shortlist. Maybe he remains under the radar and they end up going with someone like BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill, who was another guy that was a finalist and constantly mentioned in the rumors for this Utah State job. Maybe just because they won that game and they got to that magical 5-win marker that's so hard to get at New Mexico, that's ultimately the straw that broke the camel's back and put Bronco Mendenhall on the fast track to joining Utah State. Since this news went official, there's been a mass exodus from the Lobos. As of right now, they have more players in the transfer portal than any team in the conference, with 29 players announcing their intentions to transfer, including 10 of their 11 starters on offense, which includes first-team All-Mountain West quarterback Devin Dampier, 1,000-yard rusher Eli Sanders, and Swiss Army knife Luke Weisong. That's not even close to all of the major contributors that have already entered the portal. There'll probably be more on the way. It just seems like all of the hard work that New Mexico has put forth this year and all of the good things that they have put into the works are just going to be going by the wayside, and they're going to be back to square one in 2025. As for who will replace Bronco Mendenhall at New Mexico, I've found four options that make sense in my head. Number one on this list for me is Kansas State offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Matt Wells. Most recently was head coach at Texas Tech a few years ago, but he got that job because of his great tenure at Utah State. So this is a guy who knows how to win in the Mountain West Conference. This is a guy that knows how to operate the transfer portal as well. Was also a New Mexico assistant at one point. So Matt Wells, definitely someone I would expect to be in the running for this job. Another name I expect to see is Morehouse College head coach Terrence Mathis, who's a name that may sound familiar because he was a longtime NFL corner and is also a New Mexico legend. Was an All-American for them during his time in the collegiate ranks. And if no bigger name ends up stepping up to take the New Mexico job, I wouldn't be surprised if Terrence Mathis ends up being the selection here, a hometown pick, someone that you can rely on to stay more than one season. Kind of in that same vein, Holman Wiggins, the former New Mexico running back from 2 decades ago, has really made a name for himself in the SEC. He's currently Texas A&M's offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach, and he spent a lot of time under Nick Saban and grew his reputation as a top 5 recruiter in the country. So if Holman Wiggins decides that he wants to run his own program and wants to come home to New Mexico, that could be a slam dunk hire considering how good of a recruiter he is. Bronco Mendenhall, we saw what he did in the transfer portal, bringing in 40 plus transfers and really building a solid roster that way. If Holman Wiggins ends up being the hire for New Mexico, I have no doubt he will be able to replicate that transfer portal success with his eye for talent. And the last name that I think is going to be in the mix is BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Presumably, he was the runner-up to Bronco Mendenhall for the Utah State job. He had several interviews with their athletic director, from what I could tell. This is a guy that's very highly regarded in Mountain West circles, did a great job with BYU's defense over the last 2 seasons. I don't believe he has any direct ties to New Mexico, but he's someone that clearly has aspirations to run his own program, so we'll see if he throws his name into the ring. Okay, let's hop off the coach carousel and head towards bowl season. With all of the bowl games being announced for our 5 Mountain West eligible teams, let's go through the list really quick so you know what we're dealing with in the next 2 weeks. The Mountain West first bowl game will be UNLV in the LA Bowl on Wednesday, December 18th. They'll be taking on 6-6 Cal. Then on Monday, December 23rd, Fresno State will be taking on 7-5 Northern Illinois in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. So they will be back on the blue turf. The day after, on Christmas Eve, San Jose State will be in the Hawaii Bowl against against USF. Then on Saturday, December 28th, Colorado State will be in the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, taking on MAC champion Miami of Ohio. And finally, on Tuesday, New Year's Eve, Boise State awaits the winner of SMU in Penn State in the College Football Playoff quarterfinal. Our last stop of this week's hike is going to be the transfer portal, which officially opened up, and there has been over 130 players that have already announced their intentions to enter the transfer portal. So rather than going through every single one of those names, let's just go over each team's most notable entry. We're going to go in alphabetical order here, starting with Air Force. Their top player to enter the transfer portal so far has been cornerback Trey Williams. He's a three-year starter for the Falcons, has really established himself as a solid corner in the Mountain West, and with 1 year of eligibility left, he's going to try and move up to a bigger program before he makes a jump to the NFL, presumably. Next, for Boise State, it is sophomore defensive lineman D'Emmanuel Brown Jr. D'Emmanuel didn't get any playing time over the last few seasons for the Broncos, so he's going to enter the transfer portal and try to find a home where he can get some reps. The former three-star prospect will likely end up with another group of five program or maybe an FCS school, but I would expect him to break out next season as he has all the talent to do so. Next, for Colorado State, one of the biggest entries so far is all-conference linebacker Boehm Jock, who had 100 tackles this season, forced a couple of turnovers, certainly proved himself to be a power four level player, and as only a sophomore with 2 years of eligibility left, he's going to be a hot commodity on the transfer portal, is almost guaranteed to end up in the SEC or Big Ten. Next up, we have Fresno State, who I completely forgot to mention hired their own head coach. That's Matt Entz, the former North Dakota State head coach. Sorry, this is kind of getting thrown in here at the end, but interim head coach Tim Skipper not retained by Fresno State. The Bulldogs ended up going a different direction. Matt Entz has been an assistant at USC for the last two seasons under Lincoln Riley, has continued to be a very good recruiter there, but we know this is a guy that can win. He won two national championships at North Dakota State, a very solid hire for Fresno State, but Tim Skipper was a born and bred Bulldog, so a lot of people were not happy with that hire, or at least not happy with retaining Tim Skipper. And one of those guys is quarterback Mikey Keene, who re-entered the transfer portal. Of course, he transferred into Fresno State from UCF, played two seasons here, and after another pretty solid season, but overall underwhelming year for the Bulldogs as a whole, Mikey Keene will re-enter the transfer portal and try to get back into the Power Four ranks for his final year of eligibility. Next up, at the University of Hawaii, their top guy to enter the portal is wide receiver DeKel Crowdis, who transferred in this past season from Kentucky, had 400 plus receiving yards and a few touchdowns, was a great deep threat for them, definitely got enough film to get back into the Power Four ranks. That is where I would expect him to end up. Next, for Nevada, I picked offensive tackle Isaiah World. There was a couple of names I could have picked here. Linebacker Drew Watts is another entrenched starter. Also, quarterback Brendan Lewis announced his intention to transfer, which is a big loss for them as well with how good he was this season. But Isaiah World is a three-year starter. He started every game for the Wolfpack since he was a true freshman, and this is a guy that has just so many reps under his belt. If you guys remember Fernando Carmona Jr. from San Jose State last year, he was a 2-3 year starter that entered the transfer portal. He ended up at Arkansas. I imagine Isaiah World is going to find himself in a similar landing spot. Next, for New Mexico, this was a easy decision. Quarterback Devin Dampierre, one of the most electric players in the entire conference, 1,400 rushing yards, accounted for 30 plus touchdowns on his own with his arm and legs. And despite only being 5'11, this is a guy that just takes over games. There's no other way to put it. He's only going to be a junior next year, so still has some room to grow. 2 years of eligibility left. This is a guy that's going to be getting a big payday from a major program. Next, at San Diego State, I'm going with wide receiver Lewis Brown IV, who was the Aztecs' leading receiver this past season. He has 1 year of eligibility left. He started his career at Colorado State, had two very solid years there before moving on to the Aztecs, where he put together another good year, but clearly wants to play in major college football games for his final year, and he doesn't think San Diego State is far enough along for him to be guaranteed those kind of games as a member of the Aztecs, so he's going to try to move up to the Power Four. Moving on to San Jose State, they have only had a couple of players enter the transfer portal, but a very notable one is cornerback DJ Harvey. The former Virginia Tech transfer was a second team all-conference selection. After he had four interceptions and two defensive scores this year, he was phenomenal as a former four-star prospect. You would imagine he he's heading right back to the Power Four. Next, for UNLV, who has only had a couple of players enter the transfer portal so far, I would imagine after the bowl game, we're going to see a lot more names come in, especially if they don't end up going with Brennan Marion as their next head coach. But one player that has already decided to transfer is true freshman running back Greg Burrell, who was actually the only player to score a touchdown for UNLV in the conference championship game. He had over 300 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns this season, really showed that he is able to play major college football and still be really effective. So I would assume that a guy with this much tread left on his tires is going to be going to the Power Four. Our second to last team, Utah State, a really big name to enter the portal here, safety Ike Larson, one of the top defenders in the entire conference over the last few years. He was my pick for defensive player of the year in the preseason, and it just didn't really come together for Utah State this year under Nate Dreiling. And Ike Larson, who did say he was close to entering the transfer portal last offseason, but Blake Anderson convinced him not to. Blake Anderson, of course, no longer the head coach of the Aggies, so Ike Larson with 1 year of eligibility left. Not surprising to see him enter the transfer portal. He did mention he may return to Logan. He's just going to be exploring options, but a player of his talent that can really make an impact on any program in the country, I would expect him to land at a major, major landing spot. And our final team to go over, Wyoming, their top player to enter the transfer portal was defensive tackle Jaden Williams. He's only going to be a junior in 2025. He really burst onto the scene in the second half of the season for the Cowboys. He had 10 tackles and 3 tackles for loss against Washington State in that season finale upset that they had on the road. And right after that game finished, Jaden Williams said, "Hey, I'm going to enter the transfer portal," which is just a new day and age of football. With Jordan Bertagnoli graduating next year, he would have been a really key piece of this defense for 2025. So really sucks to see Jaden Williams leave. We'll see if he is able to make a Power Four spot or if he's going to end up somewhere else in the group of five. That is it for this week's episode of the Hike Speak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This was by far the most eventful week of the season, and we had the conference explode at one point. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is officially out now, so you can find a link to the full list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Stay close to the camp because the madness is just getting started. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.